Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts. Now it's time for your daily pep talk on News Radio Pensacola. Text in the show at 850-437-1620. I get knocked down, but I just keep my head up
high. Welcome to another edition of Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. 850-437-1620 if you'd like to join the conversation today. I'm PJ. In the studio with me, we have Mike Wiggins, and the garden line is open, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And if people have questions for Mike today, call early, call often, 437-1620.
Shoot us a text. Let us know what's on your mind.
Absolutely.
Let us know what you're going to do for the fall. We'd love to hear from our listeners, as we always do. And we can't say it enough how much we appreciate the texts and the phone calls that we get on the garden line. That's kind of what makes it fun.
Absolutely.
It really is. But we do always seem to start out with the weather. And this rain has been, in my opinion, wonderful. I mean, really, we were in a drought situation. I don't know if anybody officially declared that. We did here on the garden line, if anybody cared about that. Mm-hmm. But it was so dry. And as you walked around your neighborhood, you could see where even people who were watering were not watering enough. And with the high temperatures, extremely high temperatures, and with the no rain, the lawn and the plants were showing the effects. Now, one good news is even with just the rain we've had, the zoysia grass that a lot of people had planted that, in my opinion, kind of shows an effects of dry weather first, have kind of bounced back. Some of the zoysia lawns in my neighborhood, even with just the rain we've had, have perked up and really, really do look good. So here we are, and it looks like we're still going to have a little bit of off and on rain. But I did hear on the weather this morning, late in the week, we could be down into the 60s at night.
Oh, wow.
And if that happens, we're all going to have to get out the sweaters and snowshoes and all of that.
But, well, in Wisconsin, that's still considered summer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, we do have a call for you.
Oh, good.
Well, so George is on the line. Go ahead, George.
Hey, George, good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I just dug about an 80-pound camellia on the ground. It's a very old camellia that died of root rot, apparently. And the question is, do I need to do anything to prepare the soil before we plant another camellia there? A friend told me that we might have to apply a fungicide to the soil before we plant another camellia. So I'm wondering if you have a thoughts on that and a recommendation on a product.
That's a great question.
I'll listen to you on the radio.
You got it. Thank you very much. That's a great question. I really don't believe that a fungicide at this point is going to do much good for you. I think it's going to be more of a, for lack of a better word, soil replacement. I think if you've got that hole there where you dug out that old camellia that passed away, you need to put in the ingredients that we really always talk about here on the garden line insofar as planting new plants. You need to... You're going to have a bunch of sand there, obviously, because that's what we have in Pensacola. We don't have soil. We have sand. But you're going to have to dig the hole, a bigger hole, let's say at least twice as big as the root ball or the new plants you're putting in there, and dig out the hole, put into the hole half the sand back, and then the other half Canadian sphagnum peat moss. And then maybe a little organic material, a little milorganite or something on that order, not critical. What's critical is that peat moss mixed with that sand. Then get in there with your shovel and mix all of that stuff up. And then put water in the hole, and believe it or not, and plant the new camellia with that moist peat moss and sand at the same level that is in the pot. And I think you'll be okay. I really do. Why that camellia died, it could have been some type of root fungus, no doubt about it. That happens. Could be other things too. Could be old age. Could be variety. Could be the drought. It could be all kind of reasons. But I don't really believe a fungicide. Now, you need to watch it real close. And if there's any sign of fungus on that new camellia, then we start treating it with a fungicide. But I really think, and I'll just use the term soil replacement, is going to be your best bet. And, George, I wish you well. Let us know how it goes.
All right. Thanks for the call, George.
You bet. So we really appreciate it.
What else are we talking about today?
Well, let's talk about a few anniversaries.
Okay.
I think it's kind of fun to talk about very quickly before we get into gardening. Oh, let's say, there's three anniversaries to talk about. Number one, did you know, and I did not until I was told, this is the anniversary of 1620 Talk Radio. 18th year.
Wow.
18th year. That is so great. It's just, this station is really special.
Mm-hmm.
The Hoxings are wonderful people who own the station and have built a culture here that is just fabulous. And I think 18 years speaks a lot for what different people over the years have done with this format.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I enjoy doing it, and I respect and admire those who have come before us, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's an anniversary that you certainly don't celebrate as you did the other one here, and that's Ivan. This is the 20th anniversary. I guess it was the 16th, 20th anniversary of Ivan. Those who were not here during Ivan, we can tell them about it all day long. But unless you were here, you really, really don't understand how devastating that storm was.
Was that a Category 5?
No. Well, it's great that you asked that because, quite frankly, I read, I don't know if it was in the newspaper or heard it, they were saying Ivan, which was a horrible, horrible storm,
mm-hmm.
Was a Category 3.
Oh.
I said, no, I'm sorry. As far as I'm concerned, it was a big 4 or a 5
mm-hmm.
because of just the devastation that it caused. It really was. It's not only a strong storm. I think one important element of that storm was that it was a slow storm. It creeped in. And I'll never forget. I think I told this story one time on the air before that I was listening to the radio. It was about my electricity was about to go out. And Christian Garman was doing the weather. And that storm was supposed to go in, maybe Perdido over in that area. And he said, you know, this storm has just taken a little bit of jag to the right. And he said, oh, my gosh. Because it went in around Grand Lagoon over in that area.
Mm.
And I also think I've told the story about we were doing a little landscape project for a gentleman over there. Nice gentleman. And we were going to design and install a landscape at Grand Lagoon. Well, I don't know, a week after the storm or so, I called him up. I said, we, of course, are not able to do the installation now. Well, let's just delay it for a month or so till everybody gets straight. He said, Mike, no, we have to cancel our installation because I have no house. All I have is a slab out there. Not one thing survived.
And wow.
My house is gone. And he was very emotional about it. It
mm-hmm.
was such a sad moment. And that happened to so many people that everything was gone.
Yeah.
Everything. If, this kind of goes into Mike's book review here, but there was a book that the News Journal published, and it was called Ivan's Wake. And I'm sure a lot of listeners know what I'm talking about. It was a relatively small book, but it had all the pictures of the devastation from Ivan.
I actually did see that.
Oh, did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that book's still available. I bet it's in the library for sure. I don't know if it's available for sale. You might have to call the News Journal to see or borrow one from somebody who's got it. But it's just amazing. And a quick story. My grandchildren, when they were smaller, they're in high school and college now, would come over and they'd find that book on the bookshelf and look through it, and they'd say, Papa, you know, did this really happen here? And it did. It was just amazing how it showed the devastation. So in any event, keep your eye on the tropics. As homeowners and gardeners, we've got to be vigilant because I hate to say it, but it could happen again, and we have to be ready.
We'll be back with Pep Talk right after this.
Joe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Ready to unplug from the ordinary? To let loose? To open your mind? To sample a little bit of everything? To enjoy some culture? Find all this and so much more at the 11th Annual Foo Foo Fest, October 31st to November 11th. Start planning today at foofoofest.com.
September is trade-in month at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus furniture, notions, fabrics, and various craft supplies. Update your machine and save up to 25% with your trade-in during the month of September. Financing is available. Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess, or online at sewingandpensacola.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. The Garden Line is open. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. 850-437-1620 if you have any questions for Mike Wiggins today. We were just talking about hurricanes and Ivan's wake.
Exactly. We didn't talk about Sally, which is the four-year anniversary of Sally, which caused a lot of havoc in Pensacola also.
Okay, what's your name?
And we got a phone call. We do. Who we got?
I believe he said his name is Ed.
Ed.
Go ahead.
Ed, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. I have a question. This past summer, well, a few months ago, I put down some landscape fabric in my flower bed in the front where to keep the grass out of it. What's your opinion on using landscape fabric? Did I mess up?
No, you didn't mess up, but I'm not a total fan of that. You will find in our area sometimes the weeds will come up through it. Some of the Bermuda grass, for instance, is a good example. Well, we'll come up through that landscape fabric. I think if you're putting down just mulch, for example, if you're putting down, let me give you an example, rocks. Some people use rocks to as kind of a mulch, if you will. It's not a bad idea for that. But insofar as keeping the weeds down, I'm not so sure. I'm not a big fan. And also, consider the water. What happens when you water? Is it running off of the fabric, or is it getting into the flower bed where you want to water the plants? That may be the biggest problem with it. But you'll still, here in Pensacola, these weeds are really strong. They can come up through it. And then the water may not go down. So it's okay. I would hesitate to use any more of it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So, other than landscape fabric, what would be the best to keep all that grass and weeds down? Wood chip mulch or pine straw? What would you suggest there?
Well, I, you know, you can go down the list. I prefer pine straw. Some of the experts will say put it in 8 to 10 inches high. And, of course, with the rain and all that, it'll pack down, which will help with your weed control. I've also found that cypress mulch does a fairly good job. It's not here in Pensacola. It's not perfect, but it does a pretty good job. The pine bark nuggets, I like the way they look, but sometimes they won't be a weed retardant like pine straw or even cypress mulch. And, of course, if you're landscaping, and if you can plant your plants far enough apart where you can put some of the weed killer between them. We used to use Roundup. We don't use the old formulation of Roundup anymore. That was glyphosate. They have taken that off the residential market. But there are products that you can spray between your plants that will kill the weeds in that flower bed just as long as you don't get any of that weed killer on the foliage, because it's all systemic in that it'll go into the leaves and translocate to the roots, and then you've got some real problems. But if your plants are far enough apart, you can do it. I've had some people use those products, and they get a piece of cardboard and kind of hold it in front of their good plants, spray the weeds, then take the cardboard away. That way you're not going to get any of it on your good plants. And obviously, the rule of thumb is never, ever spray that stuff if it's a windy day, because it will go to your good plants and you got big-time problems there. So that's just a few thoughts. For the landscape fabric, see how it works for you. But I'm not sure I would do it again unless, you want to give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah, it's already down. One other last question. I've got two hibiscus that in that same bed. One of them flowered. They're right side by side. One of them never flowered. They're kind of a bush type. Neither one of them are flowering this year yet. Any suggestions there?
Well, one problem you've got with your hibiscus is obviously it's very tropical. We get a good hard freeze, it's going to probably not survive. Some people try to just let the cold weather take its toll and then do some pruning, trying to prune it back and have it come back the next year. I plant hibiscus every year in two big containers, two pots. I plant them after the last freeze. Hopefully I've got that figured out. And enjoy them all summer. I let the cold weather take its toll, throw them away, and plant them again the next year. But I agree with you. Sometimes over the years, I've had some that just didn't bloom very well at all, and some just bloom their hearts out. I think it's a variety situation. Some of these varieties that may not bloom as well as others. But I don't think you're going to make it through a cold winter without having damage to those hibiscus. Now, Pensacola, we could have a winter and no freezes, and you might be in good shape. But keep in mind that one good freeze one night could do you in.
We do have a suggestion from a listener here, too. It says you can use cardboard in your beds prior to placing your cover materials. What do you think about cardboard?
That's a good idea. I've had people use newspaper. Exactly. But I do think long-term in Pensacola, some of that stuff's going to deteriorate, and you're going to be right back fighting the weeds. Weed control in a flower bed is tough. That's why sometimes you need to resort to a chemical application. Unless, as therapy, it's good to get out and sit on a stool and pull those weeds out yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you for the call today.
Not for me.
We're going to be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
Finding a landscaper that will actually call you back? Check. Finding one that offers high-end designs complemented with 3D walkthrough designs and 2D renderings? Check. Finding a great landscaper that can also execute beautiful landscape and hardscape designs? Check. Finding one that knows how to erect outdoor pergolas, fences, patios, and kitchens? Check. Finding the right landscaper that also offers irrigation services? Check.
Hi, this is Lindsay with Blue Sky Landscapes. Call us today for a free quote and check out our work at blueskypensacola.com.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
You hear more and more about identity theft in the news every day. That's because so much of your personal info is out of your control, like your insurance provider that has your social security number and your favorite retailer that has your payment details. If they get breached, your information's vulnerable. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code PLAY at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join Sonia Duckett with Trinity Wellness of Pensacola Thursday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can reduce back pain and achieve your body goals with non-invasive treatments at Trinity Wellness. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how with Trinity Wellness and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. 850-437-1620. The Garden Line is open with Mike Wiggins. We were talking to Ed just before the break there. And
I know Mike... I want to tell Ed how much I appreciate his call. That is a subject that we've talked about on the Garden Line many times before as to whether to use the landscape fabric or not. I would love to hear from folks if they have had the landscape fabric down in their beds throughout one summer when, of course, the weeds are more prevalent.
We do have one more question for you, too, from the text line here. It says, yeah. What is a good tree to plant for shade that will not impact the driveway nearby? It's a circular driveway.
That's a tough question. That's a tough question. It really is. If you're going to just go to the basic shade trees like red maple, river birch, and those, I think the red maple would be one that would give you more trouble. I think live oak would give you a lot of trouble. Long term now, we're talking about probably years before it would be a problem. Maybe a smaller tree, sort of like your Japanese magnolia. A crepe myrtle really doesn't have too much of a bad root problem. I think those two might be a good choice to think about. But I think over the years, depending on how close it is to the driveway, you could have some problems. If you can possibly move it in a little bit where you're not right next to the driveway, I think you'll be better off. But it's not going to happen overnight, that's sure, no matter which tree you use. But I'd be thinking about the crepe myrtle. I think that might be one you might want to try. But I think any large-growing deciduous tree could eventually pose a problem.
Yeah, the roots are going to be there. It's going
to
impact
things.
Roots
are going to be there, but they're not going to be there to affect that driveway for many years.
Okay, perfect. Well, we are coming up on another break here that we have to take. So we'll come back with Mike Wiggins, the Garden Line, right after this. If you have any questions for him, 850-437-1620. You are listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Chris Foster. Music producer and executive Sean Diddy Combs is indicted on federal sex traffic and racketeering charges in New York. His attorney in the case, Mark Agnifilo.
He is dealing with this head on, the way he's dealt with every challenge in his life. And he's not guilty. He's innocent of these charges.
Combs' homes in Los Angeles and Miami were raided 6 months ago. He's also facing lawsuits alleging physical and sexual abuse, which he denies. The man accused of planning to assassinate former President Trump at his golf course Sunday is being held on federal gun charges for now. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, there will be a state-level investigation.
The state of Florida has jurisdiction over the most serious, straightforward offense, which is attempted murder.
A former neighbor in North Carolina tells Fox the suspect, Ryan Ruth, had guns and a live horse in his house, but didn't bother her or express any strong political views in the 18 years she knew him. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 9:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 76 degrees in Pensacola. The former assistant principal at Pensacola High School facing some new charges. 55-year-old Sean Roby was arrested for a second time last Friday, now facing an additional 29 charges, including video voyeurism and possession of child pornography. Roby was first arrested in mid-August after police said he secretly recorded a 17-year-old nude in her bedroom. That video was discovered on Roby's laptop. After the first arrest, police say they found four more videos he'd recorded of that girl when she was 15 years old, and also found several child porn files. Roby had initially been suspended from the Escambia School District, but he was fired last Monday. He remains now in the Escambia County Jail on $520,000 bond. Two teenagers arrested after last week's threats at Foley High School, a 15-year-old girl and boy now charged with making a terrorist threat and disorderly conduct. Police say the teens created threatening social media posts, put them online on several platforms. This happened after that lockdown incident last week. Police say the school is also taking disciplinary action. And the state of Florida doing its own investigation into the second attempt on former President Trump's life in West Palm Beach this week.
I look at the federal government with all due respect to them. You know, those same agencies that are prosecuting Trump in that jurisdiction are now going to be investigating this. I just think that that may not be the best thing for this country. Nevertheless, they have their prerogative, but we have our prerogative. And so we'll be making an announcement further along those lines in the ensuing days.
And Governor Ron DeSantis there, he says they believe would-be assassin Ryan Ruth violated several state laws during that assassination attempt. He was arrested on Sunday after being engaged by Secret Service officers and fleeing outside of the Trump golf course in West Palm Beach. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have a chance of rain as you go through the morning and afternoon. 50% chance overall, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. A little more sunshine for that Wednesday with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Keeping sunshine around on Thursday with a high near 89 and a low near 66. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' first morning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and we do have 76 degrees now in Pensacola. It is 75 in Gulf Breeze, also 75 reported in Milton. And now let's get a look at our market report for this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The new Apple Watch Series 10 hits stores on Friday. The company revealed a slightly thinner design and larger screens. Plus, the Series 10 has new coils under the back glass that charges it to 80% in just 30 minutes. The watch's new speakers also allow you to listen to podcasts, music, and more without using headphones. Ancestry and genetics testing company 23andMe has agreed to pay a $30 million settlement for last year's data breach. Leaked info include users' account, location, ancestry reports, DNA matches, and more. The settlement is pending a judge's approval. The Emmys telecast on ABC reached nearly 7 million viewers, a jump of more than 50% from the record low of the last ceremony in January. The last time the Emmys reached more than 10 million viewers was in 2018. Stocks are slightly higher after strong retail sales data. That's your money now.
And now, a step back in the news archives with the late John Appleyard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
September the 17th, 1719, from the level ground before Fort San Carlos de Asturias, this is News Radio 1620. Well, as I report today, the smoke of battle has been all but cleared, and the surrendered Spanish soldiers have been placed in an informal stockade here at the water's edge, guarded by a ring of French troops. The battle has ended, with General Bienville's forces the winner. In the bay, your reporter can still see the superstructure of at least three Spanish vessels which were destroyed in the naval engagement yesterday. The fort itself shows considerable damage inflicted by cannon firing from the west and from naval fire. Governor and Field Marshal Matamoros told your reporter that his force had defended the area with courage, but that the French naval group, aided by the recently arrived fleet of Admiral Chamelon, was just too great. He said that the totals of dead and injured are still not complete. However, he did say rather wryly that he fears that this may be the end of Spanish presence here along the Gulf.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. If you'd like to be part of the conversation today, we actually had four questions come in over break for you, Mike.
Well, let's give them a try.
Okay. So the first one is, I am moving flowering peanuts from one area of my yard to another. What is a good way to do that, and how should I prepare the new location?
Well, if that's the first one we got, that's a tough one, because I have never grown flowering peanuts. Now, I'm assuming that they're growing these as a ground cover. And I know, who was it? It was one of the government buildings when they built it 4 or 5 years ago, put in that as a ground cover. Mm-hmm. Very environmentally correct, a very good ground cover. If you're going to move it, I'm going to classify this as a guess. I would do it in the cooler months, maybe get into even November, December, January type thing. And if I'm going to move it, obviously get up as much as you can of the roots and move it after you have incorporated in the second, the new site, your, sound like a broken record here, your Canadian sphagnum peat moss, maybe a light fertilizer, very low nitrogen, like a 4-12-12. Don't use much, and you don't even have to do that. But the organic material mixed up with the sand, moving it into a time of the year when there's no growth or very little growth, I think would be the best way to do it. But I'm kind of winging that a little bit because I've never had to transplant or move flowering peanuts. Mm. I would love if any of our listeners have done that to kind of join the conversation on that one.
And they can do that 437-1620.
Absolutely. I appreciate the question. I really do. I wish I was more of a flowering peanut expert.
All right.
But I'm not.
Question two. I missed a patch of crabgrass in the corner of my yard. When I pulled it, there was nothing underneath it but dirt. Is it too late to put down a few pieces of sod?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's a fine time to do that. And of course, if you're going to do it, you know, get as much of that crabgrass as you can out of there. Get it down to bare dirt. Get your levels right so that new sod you put in there is not too high, which will get dug up by the lawnmower, or too low, where it's going to hold moisture. So, no, it's a good time to do it. Once again, match whatever grass you've got now with the new sod you put in. That's a no-brainer. That's obvious. And, go for it. No, it's not too late at all.
Okay, perfect.
No.
All right, next question. Hummingbirds on our feeder and a beautiful lily bloom. I know you took a look at this picture over break, Mike. They said, I think it's a St. Patrick lily. So what did you come up with?
I think it's just, okay, this is, it's a yellow daylily. There is one that looks exactly like that picture called a lemon daylily. Kind of a yellow, but a light yellow, if you will. it also has a growth habit like one of our favorite yellow daylilies, which is called the Stella dell'Ora daylily. It's kind of a dwarf daylily. It's yellow. It does so well here in Pensacola. So that's one that's similar to that. But I'm gonna go with lemon daylily on that one. I appreciate that. Now, the hummingbirds, let me tell you. Mary Ellen and I put out 3 hummingbird feeders kind of on the back of our house, on a little pergola we have out there. I have never, over my years, had as many hummingbirds as I've had in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we always joke in that we have all these hummingbirds coming to the feeder, but always in another tree or somewhere, there's another hummingbird called, what we call, this is Wiggins talk here, a guardian.
Mm.
And the other hummingbirds come to the feeder, the guardian will swoop down and run them off, then go back to where he was for the next group that comes in.
Oh, that's interesting.
They fight all the time. It is so much fun to watch. And I hope if anybody has got their hummingbird feeder and hadn't put it out yet, get it out, because they are everywhere. It's fun. Appreciate the picture. I really do. I hope you enjoy them as much as we do.
The next one is actually a picture, too, so we'll have you take a look at that over our next break, which is coming up here in about 3 minutes. I know that you also wanted to talk about insects today, too. It's that time of year.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you hate to go from a wonderful topic like the
hummingbird. I know, like hummingbirds to insects.
Into worms. You know, but we need to do it. I did mow my lawn the other day, and I'll tell you, once again, the little gray, dingy moths just are everywhere, flittering around knee height once you mow through them. And that is a moth that's laying an egg that will hatch into a sod webworm.
Mm.
And I'm going to say maybe, because you could have the moths all over your yard and for whatever reason never get to sod webworms. But if you get the worms, you've had the moths. Let's just put it that way. So if you've got what to do is to inspect your yard literally every day, because they're going to start out in a small patch, and the blades of grass are going to have notches in them.
Mm.
That's where the sod webworm has chomped some out of it. And it will take over your yard. You need to treat it with a granular or a liquid insecticide that's labeled for sod webworms, and you need to treat it quick. The good thing about sod webworms, if there is anything good, is that they really don't affect the roots of your St. Augustine grass, just the blades of grass.
Mm.
Especially with this rain, you're going to get some lush growth coming up. They love that.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful about checking your lawn literally every day and treat if necessary, because you don't want them to take over and just start destroying a large percentage of your yard.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that. Now, one other thing about that. We're also fighting chinch bugs, which, as we've always talked about on the garden line, sort of manifest themselves near the street or near a driveway or whatever. That's because that's where the turf is warmer, and they're very tropical. The sod webworms are very, very tropical. And chinch bugs, though, will affect the roots of the plant. The good thing is, if you're not sure which your problem is, if I have chinch bugs or if I have sod webworms, the chemicals are generally labeled for both of those. In other words, you can use a good insecticide that will help take care of the chinch bugs and the sod webworms. But be so careful to check it out.
Okay. We are here with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3, part of Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break. Mike's going to take a look at this picture, and we'll be right back.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like...
the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Dan Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, and it happens Tuesday nights at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Be sure to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Coming up this Tuesday, it's the White Sands Panhandle Band. They are the hottest band when it comes to bluegrass, country, and rockabilly. And they're inspired by so many great artists like Marty Stewart, Doyle Lawson, and Charlie Daniels. So come out to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with White Sands Panhandle Band. So remember, no pets or glass allowed.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you'd like to be part of the conversation today. Mike Wiggins is in the studio, and we are working our way through the garden line. And so we had a question. This weed is taking over my centipede grass. What do I need to do?
Okay. Kind of hold on to that one for a minute. That's an important question.
Okay.
I want to go back to our sod webworms and chinch bugs real quick.
Okay.
Keep in mind, St. Augustine grass is the grass that's going to be affected more than any other. Centipede really doesn't get the sod webworms. I never quite understood why, but St. Augustine is going to be your grass that's going to have those particular problems. And that goes back to what we've talked about on the garden line so many times, is that zoysia grass has become so popular, and one reason is it doesn't have that sod webworm problem that St. Augustine has. Mm. It doesn't have the fungus problem St. Augustine has. But still, many of us still really enjoy our St. Augustine. And if you do and you have St. Augustine or you're going to plant it, just watch out for those bugs. Watch out for them. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because those other grasses don't really have the problem as bad as St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, the weed problem. What we
yes.
got?
Well, again, it says this weed is taking over my centipede grass. What do I need to do? I know you took a look at the picture over the break.
That's right. I did. And identifying weeds on the computer is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good picture. Number one, it's got a bloom on it. So if it has a bloom on it, that classifies it as a broadleaf weed versus a grassy weed like crabgrass. That particular one looks a lot like Virginia buttonweed to me, and here's what I would do. As we get a little cooler, just a little bit, use a post-emergence weed killer on it, like carfenazone. That is one that I know has been labeled for Virginia buttonweed. Think about using that on it. But there's another way to do it. What you can do is, that picture had it, it wasn't a big patch, it was a relatively small patch,
mm-hmm.
is get your shovel and dig a little, I don't want to call it a trench, actually, so dig around that weed till you get, at least 4 to 5 inches deep. Then you can use that same weed killer we talked about early on, which is what I call non-selective, kills everything. But if you spray that on that particular weed, it'll kill it. And since you've put that trench, if you will, I hate to use that word, you've cut a line around it with your shovel,
mm-hmm.
It won't go into your good grass, which is, by that picture, it looks like St. Augustine,
mm-hmm.
because you've got to be real careful with your post-emergence weed killers. If you're going to use it on that particular weed, it could sometimes, if the weather's wrong, damage your St. Augustine. But you could kill that with that non-selective, but you've got to be so, so careful doing that. So careful. Or the third way to do it, dig it up. Dig it up and almost immediately get a piece of sod, cut it to fit that area, kind of jigsaw puzzle it in there, and you've got it made.
So if they were to put dirt in the hole after everything's been killed off, and then would the St. Augustine eventually take back over that bare spot? Or?
It will. It will. But what happens here in Pensacola, of course, you have a bare spot, just bare dirt, which you've taken all the foliage out of, all the grass out of there. It's just a haven for weeds because what you're going to do, you're fertilizing the lawn, you're watering the lawn, you're taking care of that, and the weeds love that. So they'll get in that area. So you're going to have to get in there and do some weeding before you wait for that St. Augustine to cover. But yes, it will. But I think replacing that area that you've dug, if you dig it out, or even if you've killed it with a weed killer, you're going to eventually have to dig that out and put a plug or some sod in that area. That was what I would do.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, another question for you. Ground pearls. What can we do? Nothing. Anything?
Nothing. And it's not. And over the years, we've had a lot of discussion about this, but I think a lot of experts will tell you that's a ground scale is another name for that. That's that pink pearl. Pink pearl is another name for it. It really doesn't do much harm. Some of the experts will say, well, it might damage some of the roots of the grass or the plants, wherever you have found them. But for the most part, I don't think over the years people have really worried about them. Not much one can do anyway. So I really wouldn't be concerned. I really would not.
Okay. Mike Wiggins, our guest on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. If you have any questions for him, we are nearing the end of the show, so get those questions in. Are we continuing with insects, or do we have something else on the agenda today?
You know what? That's enough bugs for the day. Let's do this. Let's kind of recap just a couple of things I wanted to mention. Remember the winterizer fertilizer we've been talking about really over the last month. If you haven't done it, do it. Now, a couple of rules. Of course, you don't want to put your fertilizer out on a wet lawn. With all these thunderstorms, you're going to have to find a day where everything is dry. And then you water it in. Now, if you have a wet lawn and it's the only time you've got to put out the winterizer, go ahead and do it, but water on top of that. Your neighbors are going to think you're crazy out there watering your yard when it's been raining for 2 days. But you need to do that, unless you can catch a rain. But the point is, you've got to get that fertilizer down into the turf for it to do any good. You really do. But the winterizer is so important because it's got all that potash in it, which is going to strengthen the roots of your grass, and it's going to come back next spring looking even better. A lot of people are, I don't want to say disappointed, but don't realize that you put the winterizer on, the nitrogen in it is so small that you just aren't going to see any results. You're not going to see your grass do anything. You're just kind of banking on that fertilizer working to make those roots vigorous so you come out of dormancy next spring with a better looking grass.
Okay. I know you don't have time to answer this right now because we got to go into a commercial break, but I'm just going to queue up the question. It says, hundreds and hundreds of moths when I walk in my backyard. I don't think there's been any damage, but I've already treated it once with granular and they're still here. Also, a lot of them when I open my front door. So we need a answer to that question.
Oh yeah. Join the club.
Yeah. We'll be back right after this.
Summer is here, and it's time for your favorite weekend activities. It all starts with a stop at Barnes Feed Store. Now it's time to get your hands dirty planting your favorite flowers and vegetables in the garden. What will you grow this year? Barnes Feed Store has been helping gardens grow better for generations. Stop by today and see for yourself why Barnes Feed Store has been a local's favorite for years. Get your gardening, pet supplies, and so much more at Barnes Feed Store in Inslee on Old Palafox.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Hey, Andrew McKay here on the Pensacola Morning News. We continued our two-day reading of the Shade meeting transcripts over the Jeff Bergosh text messages case of the County of Escambia versus Gannett and Jonathan Owens and Alex Arduini, finishing up today with what I can only describe as pretty interesting stuff. We also talked to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about school threats extensively and the Guardian program and the second now assassination attempt against President Trump. You can listen to all of these conversations at newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620, Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ. Mike Wiggins in the studio, and the garden line is open. Before the break, we had a question. Hundreds and hundreds of moths when I walk in my backyard. I don't think there's been damage. I've already treated it once with granular, but they're still here.
Yes, and the moths aren't going anywhere. The moths, there's nothing one can do about the moths, except to hope that the sod webworms themselves are not going to materialize in your yard. As I say, you can have most of us, everybody has the moths, but many times you just don't have the worms follow, but they can, Now, using the insecticide that you put out will do nothing to take care of the moths, but that was pretty good in case there's some sod webworms that are present. Using that granular was a good idea because that may have nipped them in the bud and you may be okay. But you really can't use any kind of insecticide or spray or whatever to control the moths. They're just here and you just have to hope for the best.
Wow. So not even like just have a campfire at night.
Well, they don't really bother you. They just flitter around. I always say, if you've got a monkey grass border, a liriope border, go out and kick it. And you will see those sod webworm moths just go everywhere. It's really, I don't want to say fun to watch. It's not, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. What we need to talk about next week, if we get some time, it's almost time to talk about using our post-emergence weed killer, kind of like we talked about earlier today, but also start some planning. Planning for your pansies, your dianthus, your mums. Different plants that we're going to plant in the fall to probably replace some of our spring plants that have had their better day, or just to get them out there in some containers so we can enjoy them with the fall approaching. So let's talk about that next week.
I know you wanted to talk about mulching too.
Yeah, we'll do that next week too. And some landscape rules and some low growing. But we got all kinds of stuff to talk about.